I love the fall. I think it's my favorite season. I love the crisp, cool air, and I love to see the leaves changing color. Some of the trees around this area here in Vancouver are just so beautiful. But why do leaves change color? The reason is to prepare for the upcoming change. All summer, when there's lots of sunlight, the trees and the plants, they store food and they grow. But then when the days get shorter and there's less sunlight and it's harder to soak up the water through the hard ground, they have to change. They change to prepare for those dark days of winter. The chlorophyll the green goes away and we see those beautiful colors of orange and yellow. The trees change in order to prepare for what is ahead. As you head into fall, what change might you need to make? Is there something for which you need to prepare? How are you going to face the challenges that may come your way this fall? For our scripture text today, I would like us to look at 1 Kings chapters 2 and 3, and I'm just going to read portions of these chapters. Chapter 2 records King David's words to Solomon just before David dies. In 1 Kings 2, 1 to 3, we read, "As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go." The text then goes on further with things that David says to his son Solomon. David dies, and then Solomon takes over as king. Solomon begins to establish his rule, and he makes several crucial decisions. He also marries in order to make an alliance with Egypt. And then as we go on into chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, the text says this: "Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, 'What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.' Solomon replied, 'You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?' The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, 'Because you've asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life, or wealth, or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Solomon had embarked on a new season in his life. Significant changes had taken place. First, his dad had died. The man who had led Israel so successfully for so many years. A man whom the people loved. A man who had a heart after God was now dead. And Solomon was expected to fill his shoes. He was now responsible for the livelihood of God's chosen people. Certainly no small task. Solomon would have experienced sorrow and grief at the death of his father. And I would assume that that was probably mixed with maybe some excitement about being king, as well as apprehension. A big responsibility. So with this change in the season of his life, what does he do? As the verses in between reveal, he makes some decisions, some good, some not so good. But then he goes to worship and he prays. And listen again to verses 7 to 9. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong." The Message paraphrase puts it this way. Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. For who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people? Solomon realized he was inexperienced. He needed God's guidance. And he asks God for a listening heart. With the new challenges facing him, he knew he needed a change. And that change involved coming in humility on his knees to God, asking for help. He realized he wasn't listening to his own wisdom and understanding, but to listen to God's heart. As you look around, as you see changes, as you see the leaves changing color, what do you need in your life? Are there challenges and changes that lie ahead for you? Maybe it's a challenge in the job that you're facing. Maybe it's a challenge in raising your kids. Maybe they're beginning to test your authority and you're not sure how to handle it. Maybe you're facing challenges in your marriage or in some of your relationships. Maybe health challenges. Maybe lack of direction. Emptiness. As we enter the fall, a new season with a variety of changes, how should we begin? I think it needs to be on our knees. When I say knees, I don't mean literally. Some of us have trouble with our knees. But on our knees metaphorically, in prayer. Coming to God, seeking His guidance and direction. Not just heading out on our own strength, making decisions based on what we think is good or acceptable. Solomon began that way, and then he realized he needed God's help. How frequently do we tend to do the same thing? We tend to go our own way. We often set out on our own strength rather than listening to God and following His directions. Isaiah chapter 30, God says, "You make plans, but not mine. You make deals, but not in my spirit. You pile sin on sin, one sin on top of another, going off to Egypt without so much as asking me." When we rely on our own abilities and resources, we really are cheating ourselves. Sometimes the outcome does turn out in a way that we hope. But just imagine how things would have turned out if we asked the Father in the first place for guidance. And just think about some of the examples in Scripture. When God did things the way that we might not have done them. Just think of the story of the capture of Jericho. You know, would you have had people march around the city blowing horns? Yeah, probably not. And then there's story after story where that is the case. God leading in unexpected ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. In Isaiah 55:8, we read, "My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. We need to seek God's will, His direction. Solomon knew he was young, he couldn't handle it. He needed God's help. He needed a listening heart to have God's wisdom and discernment. We too need to seek God during times when we find ourselves in those challenging situations. We need to fall on our knees and seek the Lord, seeking His help and guidance, asking, Lord, how is it that I should teach my child to respect my authority? Lord, what do I need to be doing in my marriage, in some of my other relationships? Lord, give me wisdom for my workplace. How am I to be a leader for you? Lord, give me direction to see where am I to go next. And Lord, how am I to serve you? As we humbly seek His wisdom, as we face the various challenges that come our way, He will provide. As Solomon prayed, we see the abundant generosity and the graciousness of God. That when he asked for wisdom and didn't ask for fame or riches, God not only answered his request for wisdom, but he gave him riches and fame beyond any other king. As we read in Ephesians, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So why do we try to do it all on our own? Do we fail to get on our knees because somehow we have a limited view of God? I think sometimes that's the case for me. I make God too small. But the Lord said to Moses, "Is there a limit to my power?" And the answer is a resounding no. We need a big vision of God. And then we will pray big prayers. God loves us. He cares for us. He has reached out and rescued us. And we're reminded of that as we come and we celebrate communion this morning. He's alive. He is all powerful. And we have the privilege of walking and talking with Him. If you look at Jesus' life, prayer was vital. Before every major event, we see Him praying. Dr. Curtis Mitchell, in a book on prayer, notes, "Difficulties and emergencies were met only after consultation with the Father in the secret place." And he says, "I am persuaded that such a practice would make a significant difference in the lives of Christians today." Yes, we need to fall on our knees. And Mitchell further points out, Christ asserted that divine action in some mysterious manner is conditioned upon believing prayer. Thus, prayer is set forth as the chief task of the believer. It's our responsibility to ask. It's God's responsibility to accomplish. It's noteworthy that when you look at what the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, it wasn't about how to witness, how to grow a church, you know, how to care for people, how to succeed in life. It was how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And we can see how this impacted the early church. Here was a new season, many new challenges. And what did they do? They devoted themselves to prayer. They fervently and persistently asked, and God responded. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Devote yourselves. To devote is defined as to give or apply one's time, attention, or self entirely to a particular activity. It has this sense of perseverance, paying attention, diligence. At the end of Ephesians, when we closed off that book, we noted Paul's encouragement for us to pray. And that is repeated throughout several of his letters. It's easy to lose our devotion to prayer. It can be hard. It takes humility, effort, and diligence. And that's why over and over again, we are given this reminder. We're to pursue God in prayer, to do it with watchfulness and gratitude. Prayer is vital. When we pray, we align ourselves with His presence, with His power, and with His priorities. It's at the heart of what we are to do. Mark Batterson, in a book about prayer called The Circle Maker, makes this comment. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. As you begin this fall, this new season, what are you longing for? Are you longing for a deeper relationship with God? Then pray. Are you facing some new challenges? Then pray. Are you looking for breakthrough in some area of your life? Then pray. I saw a speaker recently give a demonstration of taking one of those, you know, those power bars. And then he took the cord and plugged it into the power bar. Well, that's not going to work. You have to take it and plug it into the electrical outlet, to the source. Then you can run all sorts of things off that power bar. It doesn't work if we plug into ourselves. Like Solomon, trying to do it on our own. We have to plug into the source of life. If you feel overwhelmed by just so many of the things going on in the world around us, ISIS, Ukraine, the Ebola virus, what do you do? Fret? Worry? When you're overwhelmed with personal struggles, what do? Stress? Try to solve things on your own? We're called to pray. All throughout Scripture, this is what we are encouraged to do. And as we look at the life of Christ, this is what we see Him living out. I want to close with reminding you of three aspects of prayer, all within one framework. Three things to keep in mind: our prayer being inward, upward, and outward. Inward. Praying for those personal things in your life, those personal struggles, those decisions, those desires. But prayer is to be more than just asking for ourselves. It also needs to be upward. Giving God thanks and praise. Acknowledging Him for who He is. What He's done. And placing our trust in Him. And third, it's to be outward. To be praying for one another. To be praying for the church. For us to move forward as a church, we need your prayers. If we're going to do an Alpha program this fall, it needs to be bathed in prayer. And we need to be praying for the world, for all the difficult things going on. Inward, upward, outward. And all of this is to be in the framework of a conversation. In prayer, we encounter the living God. It's not just one-sided. It's not just speaking. It's listening. As Solomon asked, we need to have God-listening hearts. What might it mean to devote yourself to prayer? This fall, how can it be one that is on your knees? Practically, how might you do that? Setting aside some specific time. Clearing some space each day. Finding a friend to pray with, in person or even over the phone. Attending one of the prayer times here at the church. There are several opportunities that we have here. There's a Sunday morning prayer time in the chapel, 10 a.m. Great to be able to come together then. Monday evenings, we meet in the back of the sanctuary, in the foyer there, from 5:30 to 6:30. And a new time has just started, Tuesday and Thursday mornings, from 7 a.m. to 7:40. Just come in, ring the bell in the tower entrance. How might God lead you? And how might your life be different this fall if you just stopped and prayed? When we submit ourselves to the Lord in our daily living, trusting Him with the changes that take place, humbly seeking Him in all the challenges that we face, He gives us new opportunities and can use us in new ways and blesses us beyond measure. Let this be a fall on our knees. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness that we sung about. For how vast, big, strong You are, and that You care for us. And Lord, I pray that as we enter this fall season, with the changes and challenges that come our way, that we would not go about life just as usual and try to do things on our own strength, but that we would fall on our knees, coming to You to know Your heart, Your plans, to hear Your voice. Thank You, Lord, that You long to be gracious and compassionate to us, and that we are blessed when we come to You. Lord, we come to You now in repentance and rest, to walk in Your paths in quietness and trust. We come falling on our knees. In Your name, Jesus, amen.